This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
This is the Kona Edge. I'm Brad Brown, and thank you for joining me once again today. And I've got another incredible story to share with you. I'll get into that in just a moment. But as I sit here in my studio in a fairly windy but beautiful Cape Town in South Africa, I'm looking at my calendar, and I can't believe that we are just a stone's throw away from the end of 2016. This year has absolutely flown by. And creeping up on us in just a couple of days' time is another milestone that I haven't actually said much about, but I'm pretty excited to tell you that the Kona Edge is officially 1 year old this coming Friday. And it's just been an incredible journey, and I wanted to just take this quick opportunity to say thank you to you for showing an interest in what I'm trying to do on in my little corner of the planet. And the response has been absolutely phenomenal, to say the least. Just to let you know, in the year, we've done 250,000 downloads of the podcast. We've been listened to in 142 different countries, which is just mind-boggling, absolutely mind-boggling. So thank you. That's all I want to say is thank you for downloading and listening to the podcast. It really makes it worthwhile, the feedback that I get, and I love getting the feedback. Keep it coming. You've got any questions, or if you've got any suggestions or just any ideas, please pop me a mail, or thoughts if you want to say how's it, or hi, or whatever it is, just pop me a mail. It goes straight to my inbox, brad@thekonaedge.com. It's as simple as that. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know where you listen to this podcast, also how you found it. I love hearing the stories, and I love chatting triathlon to athletes just like me and just like you from around the globe. So it's been a very rewarding journey, and here's to another 10 years as we celebrate here at the Kona Edge. It's been a fabulous one, and thank you once again for the part that you've played in it. Before we get into today's guest as well, I also just want to let you know that a week from now, pretty much, we'll be announcing who the winner is of our competition that we've been running here on the podcast. We're giving away an entry into an Ironman race, so a 70.3 or a full Ironman, doesn't really matter. All you need to do, and it's really easy to win, is leave us a review and a rating on iTunes, okay? If you want to find out more about it and how to enter, you need to go to this page anyway, even if you've left the review. You need to go to thekonaedge.com/win. That's W-I-N. All the details are there. Leave us a review and a rating, and then be in touch into the contest. And yeah, first week in December, we're going to be announcing the winner. I'm pretty excited. We've managed to get quite a few entries in the last week. But if you've been listening to the podcast and procrastinating and thinking, oh, I need to do that, now's your time. Otherwise, you're going to miss out, okay? You've only got a few more days to do it. That's thekonaedge.com/win. Make sure you get your entry in right now. And yeah, could be you. Looking forward to that. Well, let's get straight into today's podcast. Enough of me yakking. And I almost feel like we know a little bit about our next guest, and we probably do, because I've interviewed his wife on the podcast. And I'm talking about Ryan Giuliano. We spoke to his wife, Jackie, a few months ago. Both of them have qualified and raced on the Big Island, and they've got a pretty special connection to the island as well. And they had a great year in 2016. We'll find out more about that on today's podcast as well. I hope you enjoy. It's a great pleasure to welcome Ryan Giuliano onto the Kona Edge. Ryan, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Ryan, we're chatting just a few weeks post-Kona 2016, and it was a pretty good year. We'll chat about the race in a moment. But as it stands right now, how's the body feeling?
Body's feeling pretty good. I was actually really surprised, because going into Kona, I was feeling really run down, pretty tired. I wasn't really expecting too much from the race itself. And then once I raced, pretty much the day after, I felt pretty back to normal. And I did a few easy training runs, training rides, and I was like, well, body feels actually almost better than it did before Kona. So I was pretty surprised with that.
So much so that you signed up for another race before year end.
Yeah, so a couple days after Kona, Jackie and I talked about it'd be nice if we could just do one more and we were both feeling healthy, both feeling pretty good. So we're like, all right, well, let's see what's left on the calendar. And we signed up for Ironman Cozumel, which is coming up here shortly. We did that one 2 years ago. So we have some experience on it. We know what to expect. And it was really probably our favorite race that we've ever done. So we're excited to go back.
I was going to say, it's a pretty nice place to go to as well. I mean, it's a spectacular race, but as far as race venues go, there aren't too many better.
Oh, definitely. That's one of the reasons why we love the sport so much. It's the places that we get to go to. And I mean, Cozumel is an incredible place. It's beautiful and warm. So we love it there.
Ryan, you talk about the places you get to go, and we'll delve a bit into how it all started for you, but you've got a very special connection to the Big Island, to Kona, and it's not just because of triathlon.
Yeah, so yeah, Kona has that interesting twist to it for my wife Jackie and I. So this was our this year was our fourth time going out there. We went four straight years in a row now, and it started basically from when we got married. We were like, it was the same weekend as the Ironman World Championships, and I remember the day before the wedding, I was sitting on my phone tracking a few friends, and I was like, wow, it'd be really cool to be out there. And so I mentioned it to Jackie, and we're like, well, let's try and qualify. We can celebrate our one-year anniversary out there. And sure enough, we qualified the next year, and it just sort of turned into a tradition now. So we'd love to make it number five next year.
I love that. It's just such a cool story. I mean, Jackie told me something similar, and I think it's absolutely fantastic. But let's take a step back before we discuss this year's race in particular. But where did your love for triathlon emanate from?
It was pretty interesting. So growing up, I was always a runner. So my older brother, my dad, they were both runners, and I sort of picked up on that. I just enjoyed going to races when I was little. So going to a local 5K, jumping in, and it continued through high school. And then once I got into college, I decided to run track and field for the school. And my college roommate at the time, he did triathlons in his spare time in the summer. So he invited me to come out and go for a couple swims with him. And it was absolutely miserable because I have no swim background whatsoever. I mean, I remember jumping in the pool when I was in college, and I couldn't even make it across a 25-meter pool. So it was quite a shock to me. But I think just being more of that, like, driven type personality and really dedicated to something, I always want to succeed. So it just drove me a little bit further and really – I dove headfirst right into the sport and did everything that I could to get better at it.
Ryan, where do you think that sort of drive and the will to succeed comes from within you?
I think it's just the competitive nature that I have. I mean, no matter what I'm doing, I mean, it can be, who can be the best at making breakfast in the morning. As long as there's a competition there, it's just something that always has driven me. So whether it was in academics in school, I was always striving to do my best in school, or in the athletics. I think it's just sort of an innate part of me.
Do you think that sometimes has its downfall, that being that competitive in all aspects of your life? I mean, I chuckle to myself with you saying that even who's the best at making breakfast. I can imagine with two sort of almost type A personalities in the same household, you and Jackie, it must get quite interesting at times.
Oh, definitely. And it's funny you talk about that. I mean, it's the competitive nature, even just between Jackie and I, sometimes is just crazy. But it does have some downsides. You need to control it once in a while, because there are times when you're trying to get better and you're trying to do your best, but there's always that point where you can go overboard. And that's where a lot of injuries or burnout can happen. So you really need to pay attention to what you're doing and make sure you're not going over the top sometimes.
So who makes the best breakfast between you and Jackie?
Oh, I definitely do.
If I asked Jackie that question, would we get the same answer?
I actually think she would agree with me on that one.
You've just signed up for breakfast for life, Ryan. I hate to break the news to you, but Jackie's getting breakfast in bed for the rest of her life. That's fantastic. As far as other sports growing up, you mentioned growing up in a running family. Did you partake in other sports as a kid?
Yes. So growing up, I was big into baseball, and then I was also into wrestling for quite a while. And I would say wrestling turned into my primary sport. So when I was finishing up school, I had to make the decision, and I actually had a lot more offers for scholarships for wrestling going into college. So and running wasn't really, I was good at it, but I wasn't nearly as good as I was in wrestling. So I had to make sort of the decision what I wanted to do once I went into college. And I think I just was getting burnt out of the wrestling side of things, so cut that out and decided to stick with the running and see what would happen with it.
As far as the dynamics go from a team sport, you mentioned baseball to something like wrestling, although there is with wrestling a bit of a team element, although you're on the mat by yourself, triathlon, again, is particularly Ironman distance triathlons, a very lonely sort of sport. Do you find yourself leaning towards those individual sports more than the team sort of things?
Yeah, I would say I definitely lean more towards the individual side, primarily just because I like to be in control of what my outcome is. I really like pushing myself and knowing that everything is on me. And in order to be my best, it's all going to come down to what I'm doing individually. So I've always liked that side of things.
It's funny you say that, because I get that sense from a lot of triathletes that I speak to, is that they love being in control. Kona 2016, something major happened in your race that was way out of your control. You ended up having a pretty serious bike mechanical with your crank. You ended up sorting it out on the way. But as an athlete and someone who's put in the hard yards to get to that point in a race, how do you deal with frustrations like that where things don't go according to the plan?
Yeah, that's always a part of, it can be definitely a frustrating part of the sport, because there are parts that aren't in your control. And I think going in to any race in general, I think just having that mindset that anything can happen at any point, especially things that aren't in your control, and just remembering that that you really need to keep an even head, because if your emotions start going up and down dramatically, that can put a lot of stress on your body and can really, really ruin your race. So I think before you go into any race, that anything can happen at any time, and knowing that if you can deal with it the best that you can, that's all you can do. And then you'll have the best race that you can get out of it in general.
Let's touch on the stress that your body goes through. Cozumel coming up in just a short while. Your fourth Ironman distance race for the calendar year, essentially. How do you deal with the sort of ups and downs and the stresses and the strains that your body does go through when you are not just training hard for one of these races? I say one. I mean, this is four, and racing them hard as well.
I think the biggest part is listening to your body. So I'm around athletes all the time, and especially, like, as you mentioned, the type A personalities, they're always go. And if it's on the schedule, they're going to do it. And I think that's one of the biggest changes that I actually made this year was listening to my body a lot more. So if I was feeling fatigued, even just mentally, so if I was mentally strained or drained one day or physically drained, I would really take a step back, look at my training calendar and say, well, this might not fit in today, and I'll just take the day off, or alter the workout to make it a little bit easier and take that stress off myself, and just try and relax, regroup, and then go after the next day. And I think that's the biggest change, because I like to go into most of my workouts feeling good and confident about them. So having that short break if I needed, it made a big difference in a lot of my training sessions and just how I felt day to day.
I find that very interesting, Ryan, because a decision like that's more of a mindset thing than a physical training thing, where you've decided that you need to listen to your body. You're not just going to go out there and do whatever is on the schedule for that day. What brought that sort of change on this year?
I think the biggest part is just experience. Over the years, I started to learn that the best way to get better for myself was to have consistent training year after year without major interruptions. So there were times where I would just get so burnt out from training or stresses in my daily life from work or just anything that would come up. And I learned that if I had a big long stretch of training that didn't go very well, or I got injured or sick, it took me out for quite a while, and then I had to rebuild and regroup around that. So I started learning that, well, if I just take a day off here or 2 days off here, I'll get right back into my training schedule feeling good about it. And it's actually worked out pretty well because I've had a really nice stretch of just training and racing without any major hiccups. And I think year after year that starts building. I think that's a big reason of the success that I had this past year is that I've had a few years now under my belt of good training and good racing.
The more I do these podcasts, the more I realize that, yes, it is scientific in training and making sure you do the right things during training and fueling your body. But what you've just mentioned there, that is the secret to success for everyone. That if you can get those big blocks consistently over a long period of time, that's where you're going to see the biggest gains.
Yeah, I don't think there's any secret or magic trick to any of this. I think the biggest, like I said, is the biggest is getting that consistent training in without those major interruptions of either sicknesses or injuries.
I think a lot of people aren't going to like hearing that, Ryan, because there's many that are looking for the sort of magic bullet or the whatever it is to give them the edge. But that unfortunately is what it is. It's hard work pays off, and over a long period of time, you reap the rewards. Let's talk about disappointments. What's been your biggest disappointment in your triathlon career, and what have you learned from it?
I would say probably the hardest part for me is more of the, I would say, on the swim side of things. And there's often times where I look at all the work that I've put in, and it's just like there's it's still lagging a little bit to compared to where I would love it to be at. And there's many times where I'm working so hard and putting so much time and effort into it, and I think the frustration starts to set in once in a while where you don't really see the gains that you want to see. And it's been a really long process, and I think at the beginning of my triathlon career, I struggled with it the most because I was a really, really poor swimmer and didn't really know what I was doing out there. But I think the biggest disappointment would be trying to get back some of that time that I've been trying to strive for.
On the flip side of that coin, what are you most proud of?
I would say learning how to handle the distance, especially in Ironman racing. So I started off as a short distance runner. So I liked the quarter mile, so 400 meters, 800 meters. And those are the types of events that I excelled in growing up. And it was quite a big shock to me trying to transition over to the endurance side of the sport. And the first couple Ironmans I did was really, really struggle just trying to get through them. So I think learning over time how to handle the distance and getting my body to respond properly to it has been the best part for me.
I find that quite interesting because not just from a racing perspective, I mean, a 400 meter compared to, and I say a marathon, but let's talk about a marathon after all that other rubbish, a long swim and a long bike. But a marathon on its own is, those two events are radically different. From a training and physiological point of view, do you think you've changed or is it just a case of you've changed your approach to it and that's what's made you change?
I think it's a little bit of both. I would say that I've altered the training quite a bit, but I still like to get back to my roots. So even though I'm training a lot for this longer endurance events, I still incorporate quite a bit of fast, hard speed work in a lot of my workouts. So like if you ask me to go jump in and do a 5K straight up running race right now, I can run it pretty fast still because I still incorporate a lot of that speed and fast running into a lot of my training. But I've built the endurance around it as well. So I think it's just been that progression over time of developing the endurance around my speed to sync and work well together.
Looking back to when you started out, knowing what you know now, you speak about experience and I mean, fourth Ironman distance race this year. So you've done a good few of these things. You've been to Kona a few times as well. You've gained a lot of experience over the years. What would you go back and tell yourself when you, if you could, starting out, knowing what you know now?
I would say the biggest thing, as I mentioned earlier, was listening to my body. There were so many times where I was looking for that secret or that magic trick where you could just put in good hard training and keep training hard and get the success. And a lot of times it just led to me having even worse performances because I was pushing myself almost too hard and too often. I would tell myself to relax a little bit and to listen to my body a lot more and try and get that consistent training over time.
That is just such great advice, and it's sticking with me because I read a blog post today of someone who raced in Kona in 2016, and I actually want to try and get her on the podcast. I'm not going to mention names, but she wrote a blog post straight after I was following her journey in the build-up to, and she wrote a blog post straight afterwards essentially saying, that's it, I'm done with the sport, I'm burnt out, I've had enough, I never want to do this again. And that is a real danger, because it's one thing training for a sprint triathlon or an Olympic distance, but a full Ironman distance triathlon is all consuming. It really takes over your whole life, and it's difficult to get that balance right. What are some of the things that you do to maintain that balance and avoid that burnout now?
I would say that one of the biggest parts is incorporating a lot of different structure into the training. As I said, I still mix up a lot of my training, so I'll do quite a bit of speed work as well within the week. So, and I try not to go too crazy on volume. Each person has to listen to their body individually, because my body doesn't respond to really, really high volume. So fitness from doing short, fast, quick workouts, and then maybe once or twice a week adding in the endurance around it. And I've noticed that a lot of times I start to feel that burnout feeling and just getting tired and done with the sport when I start doing big miles and big training blocks. And I have to just remind myself to go back to my roots, work around it, and then get my body to respond to what it works best with.
As far as getting the work-life family balance right within the sport, being married to somebody who's also not just, she doesn't just partake, but she's a very good athlete in her own right. How do you juggle that? I mean, what do you do for a living, and does it allow a bit of flexibility, or are you pretty rigid in what you have to do from a work perspective?
Yes. So I would say that's one of the biggest things that has benefited me is having a wife that is just as dedicated, but actually probably I would say even more dedicated to the sport than I am. We do a lot of our training sessions together. So, we have a dedicated workout room in our house, so we can do a lot of our bike workouts. We do most of them indoors, and we'll actually ride together quite often. So either when we're both done working or squeeze it in the mornings on the weekends, and having Jackie that also runs almost as fast as I do, it's nice to have someone that I can run with as well. So we do quite a bit of our runs together as well. So we squeeze it in when we can. And also my job, I'm coach right now. So I train a lot of endurance athletes, triathletes, runners, cyclists, and also a junior elite team in the area. And that gives me quite a bit of flexibility as well. So I don't have to be in an office from 9 to 5 each day. I'm a lot more flexible and can run around quite a bit more and squeeze in my workouts when I need to.
As far as having a spouse who's active or sort of in the sport as well and very competitive, do you find that you push each other in training, or do you find that you race each other in training? Because there's a big difference between those two, and the latter I don't think is ideal.
Yeah, I don't think we're too competitive when we're training together, because we both know our own boundaries and what we can handle. And I think that's sort of the biggest thing if people are training together. And it's also one of the reasons where I actually like to do a lot of my training by myself. I find that a lot of times when there's people that start training together, either one person starts pushing too much and the other starts to compromise and keep up, and then it can affect their training quite a bit as well. So I think it just, when we're training together, it's really nice because when we're riding the trainers, we ride at our own efforts and our own watts. And when we're running, a lot of times we'll do similar workouts, but we stick to our own paces. And if we're far apart at the end, then we just meet up when we're finished. But we both know that we're both out there and doing it together.
Ryan, what's the biggest life lesson that Ironman has taught you?
I would say that if you put the work into it, you're going to get the rewards. So So as I mentioned before, I mean, nothing really comes easy. And if you can put that work in over time and just continue to build upon it, the rewards will come. But you just have to be patient and stick with your plan.
We've spoken about experience and having experience, particularly over this length of a distance. But often I chat to people on the podcast who've only been to Kona once, and they don't have the depth of experience that perhaps someone like you does, who've raced there a few times. How do you approach Kona now? Is it a case of going there knowing what to expect? We know no two Kona races are the same, weather conditions and wind and that sort of thing. But do you go in there with a fixed plan and a fixed goal, saying this is what I'm going for this year, come hell or high water?
I actually take a little bit more of a laid back approach. So really, the first year that I raced there, I went there just looking to have fun and enjoy the experience. And the second year that I went was I had specific time goals. I had specific, goals that I wanted to hit within the race itself. And then once those started to unravel on me that second year, my race really fell apart. And my second year was probably the worst year that I had out there. So the last year is when I took a little bit of a different approach and went out there trying to stick with more of a relaxed plan. So knowing that I wanted to stay within my limits, know what I could control, what I could do, and didn't really set myself up for anything specific in terms of where I wanted to place or where I wanted to be. Rather, I tried to take what I could control, specifically my nutrition and my watts and my run paces. So I tried to stick with what I could control and not worry about anything else around me. And once I took that approach, the race seemed to go a lot better than trying to actually go out there and race.
I mean, this year, if you look at your splits, they were pretty impressive. I mean, you talk about not being the best of swimmers, and I'm always interested. I mean, for me, a gauge of a pretty decent swimmer is to dip under an hour, and you did that at Kona this year. And what's amazing, and it just shows you the depth of the field in a race like Kona, is you dip under an hour, and you just shy, or you just in the top 100 in your age group. I mean, that's phenomenal, but it also sets you up that you're still with the big pack, but with the way your race goes, you're catching people for the rest of the day. It's like you're going forward as opposed to getting out first or second and then just having people catch you for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. Coming out sort of that mid-pack I actually would almost prefer it that way. I like to set my targets ahead of me and just sort of, you almost get a better feeling when you're doing the passing rather than being passed.
Ryan, let's talk about this year, Kona this year. There was a lot of talk. There have been photos that have been circling about the packs on the bike and drafting and whether it's cheating or not. You come out the water in a where most of the age groupers are coming out, around about an hour. Tell us about the first sort of 10, 20, 30 miles of that bike, what it's like and how difficult it is to not get caught up in one of those groups.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting dynamic coming out with quite a few others around me. In general, those first 10, 15 miles are looping through town, so there's not really much that you can do. There's a bunch of turns, there's the downhills, and there's no real space to actually get spread out. So it's sort of expected that there's going to be quite a bit of close riding within those first 15 miles. But once you get out onto the Queen K Highway is when you would expect it to open up quite a bit more. But I would say it does get a little disappointing and frustrating out there. This year was, I would say, probably the worst that I've seen it as well, in terms of the groups of riders that were around me. And it does mess with the race just quite a bit more, because once you're trying to ride away from a pack, you're putting in quite big efforts, and then you sort of, yeah, I mean, if it's a large enough string of riders, you're going to have to push for quite a while just to get to the front and get ahead of everybody. So you're almost burning your matches in a way, trying to get away from a bunch of the other riders. So I would say those first probably maybe 35, 40 miles of my race this year were affected by it quite a bit. I was putting in a lot bigger surges than I wanted to try and get away from some of the packs. And eventually worked out. I think once you sort of get out to around that close to that turnaround is when people start to really figure out where they belong. And I didn't really run into too many problems this year with any of the packs, so it was pretty good.
Were you pretty disappointed with the way things turned out on the bike because of the mechanical? And I mean, you got back just over 5 hours. I mean, if it wasn't for that, you would have dipped under five. But you made up enough grounds, and if you look at your overall time as well, a 9:03. I mean, without that mechanical, you probably would have dipped under it.
Yeah, the mechanical was a pretty frustrating one. That one happened shortly after the turnaround in Javi. As I was coming back down, my crank arm just came loose, and I think just from the travel with the bike, and the crank was taken off during travel. The bolt wasn't tightened all the way, and unfortunately, it decided to come loose middle of the race. So I was stuck. The crank arm fell off as I was pedaling down Avi. So I had to get off the bike, and I just started walking with my bike and waited for support to come and help me out. But I ended up looking through my files, and it looks like I lost right around 9 minutes from my mechanical. So quite a time.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely would have got you on a nine, and that could have got you, I'm guessing, pretty close to winning your age group.
Yeah, it would have been a close one. So, but you can't really live in the what ifs or what could have or what happened. But sort of, I was more pleased with the way that I responded, because a lot of times in that type of situation, a lot of people sort of give up or quit. But it actually drove me to start pushing myself a little bit harder and seeing how many guys that I could catch that I had already passed, and just try to play that game with myself of, all right, let's.
So much. So you ran a 2:57 marathon. You must be pretty proud of that.
Yes, definitely. It was my fastest run that I've ever had in Kona. So I was really pleased with that, especially with that course, the heat, and it's not a flat course either. It's a difficult one to run fast on. So I was really happy. I guess I don't really pay too much attention to my run splits as I'm running. I do more so based on how I'm feeling and what's comfortable and in control. So I didn't even know what my run split was until after I finished the race itself.
And how special was it being on the podium with Jackie?
That was the best part. It was very, very nerve-wracking because after I finished, I grabbed my phone and started tracking her to see where she was at, and then waiting at the finish line because we had made it a goal before the race. We're like, it would be really, really special if both of us could get on the podium. And we knew we both had a shot if things lined up and we both had pretty good days out there. So I remember just standing at the finish line and watching the first couple of girls from my age group come in. And then the fourth one came in. I was like, oh, my gosh. And I checked the tracker and saw that she was in her last mile. So I was like, each girl that came across the finish line, I was like, oh, no, please don't be in her age group. And there she came across. And I was like, she did it. She got fifth. And it was quite the feeling knowing that we both had done it. So we were both really excited about it.
When I spoke to Jackie before we started recording, she mentioned to me that you could eat your body weight in ice cream, especially when it's in a wooden bowl. Is that true?
Oh, we definitely, after the race, we went and filled up both of our bowls from the awards. We filled it with a gallon of ice cream, both of us each, and we went and sat on the beach and both ate ice cream out of our bowls as a celebration.
I love that. Absolutely love that. Ryan, looking at your performance this year, you've been a few times now, you've got the experience. What's left to do on the Big Island for you? I mean, you talk about going back and how special it is because it's part of your wedding anniversary celebrations, but from a personal athletic ambition point of view, what do you still want to do on that island?
I think the ultimate goal is to get on the top step of the podium. And it's sort of been I had two goals that I sort of set out for this year and going forward, and that was to get on the top step at both 70.3 World Championships and at the Ironman World Championships in Kona. So I was able to get the one in get the one in 70.3 World this year out in Australia. So that was a really nice race out there. So I just have one more to go.
Sounds awesome. Speaking of 70.3 World Champs, 2018, Port Elizabeth, here in South Africa. Are we going to see you and Jackie?
Sounds like an incredible trip. It's always been on my list of places to come, to go. So we'll see. We still have to plan out next year. We don't even really have any races planned out. So we take it year to year.
Well, you've got a great excuse now, so we hope you can make it. Ryan, it's been awesome catching up here on the Kona Edge. Thank you so much for your time. I look forward to chatting in future episodes about the individual disciplines, but we'll save that for next time, if that's good.
All right, definitely. Thanks, Brad.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.